this too is a rounded, fleshy figure that feels in some sense like a folk image, although it's somewhat more sophisticated, considerably more sophisticated, really, than the image from Ishapur. And it shows a characteristic of Buddha images that I must say I'm always impressed by, even in the most simple type of image. It seems, like all Buddha images, to be very firmly grounded on the ground, firmly seated on its seat, so it's not going to be shaken or rocked from side to side. And yet there also is a sense of buoyancy in the image, as if it somehow floated. I think, to me, that's one of the most impressive aspects of the physical representations of the Buddha. It's stable, but also, in a sense, has a quality of buoyancy. Now, another style that you'll see quite commonly is a style associated with Gandhara, a region on the boundary between Pakistan and Afghanistan. Here, the Buddha images show the influence of Greek craftsmanship, because Alexander the Great, as you may know, when he invaded the Persian Empire and managed to travel all the way to the plains of northern India, left behind in Afghanistan a series of Hellenistic kingdoms that had Greek craftsmen who were enlisted to provide images of the Buddha. These images show Greek influence in the drapery of the robes, and in what I would call the muscular anatomical quality of the image itself. You're much more aware in a Gandharan image of the gracefulness and the strength of the Buddha as a physical being. You can see lots of different types of Gandharan images representing different stages in the Buddha's life. You often see images of the Buddha's victory over Mara, the tempter, or an image that's quite striking to me of the emaciated Buddha during that austere period before he had undertaken the middle path. Images of the Buddha's first sermon in the Gandharan style are often identifiable from deer that are listening to the Buddha's sermon and from a wheel that symbolizes the Buddha's teaching. And then you often see some quite striking images of the Buddha's parinirvana, of the reclining Buddha at the moment of his death. Now, the Mathura and Gandharan styles came together to create what became eventually the classic style of Buddhist art, we know as the Gupta style. It appeared in northern India during the 4th, 5th, and 6th centuries of the Common Era. Buddha images in the Gupta style are more fluid, more graceful, and in a sense more abstract. The Buddha's body is more slender. The drapery on his robe is depicted often as a series of fine folds and seems almost to make a kind of transparent veil over the Buddha's body. And the expression on his face often is more delicate and refined. You can often see standing Buddhas in the Gandharan style, quite graceful and impressive figures, I'd have to say, coming from different sites in northern India, including Mathura. The greatest of the Gupta images of the Buddha is this image of the seated Buddha teaching in the Deer Park in Sarnath. Where else but in the Sarnath Museum in Sarnath itself. This image is one I suspect that many of you have seen, and as you look at it, I think you might well ask yourself, since it's an image of the Buddha at the moment of teaching, what it teaches to you, since that aspect of Buddhist sculpture is essential to the tradition itself. How does that image convey to you the message of the Buddha's Dharma? This period also produced the monumental Buddha images at Bamiyan in Afghanistan that were recently destroyed by the Taliban government in Afghanistan. So you see here, I think, not anything like a systematic or thorough account of Buddhist art. That would be difficult for us to do in the time we have, but just some indication of the different varieties of images and some indication also of the way these images have functioned in the life of Buddhists from this time to the present. We'll have more to say as time goes on about the tradition of Buddhist art in other aspects of in other periods in Buddhist history, particularly when we come to the period of the Mahayana.